Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 2 and verse 5 will serve as our text. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Let's put our scripture in its context, beginning in verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now, there was set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Now Jesus, his mother Mary, and his disciples, at least 6 of them had been called to this point, attend a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Now, Cana was the neighboring town just north of Nazareth, where our Lord was brought up. Now, weddings, as they are today, were a big deal in those days. And everyone in the community and the surrounding towns would join in the celebration of God's bringing a man and a woman together in holy matrimony. Now, it was considered rude and disrespectful to the host to refuse a wedding invitation. Of course, this is the contextual backdrop to Matthew chapter 22, the parable of the wedding feast, when the invited guests all refused to come, making excuse after excuse. Part of the celebration was the partaking of wine that makes glad the heart of man. Now, this was fermented wine and not grape juice. And so if our Lord partook, not only here but at the Passover, of wine, we must not command complete abstinence. Nevertheless, if it causes any to sin, then we must recommend complete abstinence. For if it causes you to sin, it is sin to you. And if it might cause a brother to offend, then it is sin to us to place wine or any other beverage of that nature right under their noses. What the host would do is to serve the best wine first and the inferior wine last. Once the guest had tasted the wine, their senses would be dulled a little bit and they wouldn't be so concerned about the taste of the second glass. And hopefully, they were not taking the third and the fourth and the fifth. But in all reality, this is what would go on. So let's call a spade, right? Now, when Jesus got involved, the reverse would be true. The world would serve the good wine first, and the inferior last. But the Lord saves the best wine for last. The world gives us what seems good now, and it ends in misery. But God gives us what is good now, though it may seem difficult, in order that we might be served the best wine last in the life to come. Now, this is the first recorded miracle in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the first of the seven signs in the Gospel of John. And it was done to attest to the fact that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, verse 4, which we read in our context, seems a little confusing to some, where Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." First of all, he's calling her woman. Can you imagine calling your mother woman? That just wouldn't fly. But in the context, in the culture, that term didn't have a negative connotation. It would be like, you know, madam or ma'am. It was a respectful term to refer to a woman by. And all Jesus was doing was he was simply stating a fact. His hour had not yet come to be revealed to the entire nation of Israel. In other words, he's telling Mary, look, it's not time right now for me to do something that is going to get the attention of the masses, of the millions of people. But nevertheless, it was time for Jesus to begin to manifest himself in his deity locally. In this, he did. Now, I think we're on good ground considering the words of Mary. They're underscored throughout the scripture. When she says, whatever he says to you, do it. Note that we do not find written here, whatever he says to everybody else at the wedding feast, make sure they do it. Or take an account or an inventory as to what they're doing. No, he says, whatever he says to you, do it. First, we shall see what the Lord says to us. And secondly, we shall find guidance from our scripture passage as to how to, quote, do it. First, what the Lord says to us. We read in Matthew that Jesus, when he spoke, commanded his disciples to do and not to do certain things. He did not make suggestions or offer up a little bit of helpful advice to be taken up or to be trodden underfoot as one pleases. So it is with us. We have the completed Bible. God is not saying anything else to us today beyond what has been written. We are informed as to the correct course of action in every life situation by what God has already said. And in this sense, the Word of God is living, powerful, and relevant. We don't need to deny the inerrancy of God's Word, as some professing Christians do, in order to come to a right conclusion as to how to act godly in any and all particular situations. Our text reads, whatever he says, every command must be obeyed, whether it be in red letters or in black letters. For if it is written, it is the same as if Jesus Christ has spoken it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word of God cannot be separated from the person of God, for he is the very manifestation of everything we find written in these pages, both Old Testament and New. Let us consider a few direct commands from the Lord now that we may hear and do them. First, follow me. Do not follow the world. Do not follow the crowd to do evil. Do not follow your favorite celebrity, even if it's Tom Brady or politician. Whatever he says to you, do it. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Be upfront and honest all the time, whether it is convenient or not. Have you ever told a little fib, a little white lie, because if you didn't, it would be a little bit inconvenient because you'd have to explain something else, or it might shed some light on something that wouldn't be so flattering? Whatever he says to you, do it. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Here is a command with a promise. Not only will forgiveness maintain relationships on earth, but a willingness to forgive will maintain relationship with God. Begin at home, and begin today. Whatever he says to you, do it. We shall find guidance from our scripture passage as to how to do it. It is not always easy to know exactly how to obey Jesus in each and every situation. But scripture gives us some ideas, some suggestions, or dare we say commands. We listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, become regular, daily Bible readers. How can we follow the injunction, whatever he says to you, do it, if we don't know what he says? We assess the situation to see what means are available. The servants had 6 water pots of stone available. These were used for the ceremonial washing of the hands, which was a part of the Jewish oral law, the Talmudic law. And these were always at hand anytime there might be a meal or some act of worship, ritual act of worship might be taking place. Well, that's what was available. So that is what Jesus used. He used the available resources at hand to accomplish the will of God, which in this case for him was to perform a particular sign. Now, you have natural gifts. And if you are a Christian, you have at least one spiritual gift. God has blessed you not only with natural abilities and spiritual graces, but he has also blessed some of you with earthly means. Whatever he says to you, do it. You have a mind. Make up your mind and follow Jesus. You have strength. If you have emotional strength, show mercy to others. If you have mental strength, teach others. If spiritual strength, then pray for others. Whatever he says to you, do it. You have a mouth. If you can use it as you have on more than one occasion to bring hurt, to say hurtful things, to get your digs in, then you can also use it to say, I'm sorry. I forgive you. It is good to say it, but let us also do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Once we get the gospel straight and believe aright, and Jesus Christ becomes our spiritual rock, our spiritual foundation, once we have apprehended the truth that Jesus came down, lived a sinless life, paid the penalty for your sins, shed his own blood that you might be reconciled with God, that he died, he was buried, that he rose again. When we believe these things, when we believe the gospel, when we receive eternal life, because we have so done, then there is really but one command. Whatever he says to you, do it. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can't do it in our own power. Just because we came to Jesus once for salvation does not mean that we need not come again. Rather, we must come to God through Jesus Christ and seek the divine aid daily, that we might obey the command of Christian living. Whatever he says to you, do it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come forth in obedience to your word, not only privately proclaiming your name and prioritizing the worship of you in our hearts, but doing it publicly. Lord God, help us to do those things that you've commanded us. Grant us discernment. Give us wisdom in dealing with the situations and those difficult people who in our lives, even now, that our character and our conduct might reflect the character and the conduct of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us willing hearts. That it might be said of us, that we do whatever is commanded us by he whom we call Lord. May we be impressed by that fact, by that title, Lord. God help me that whatever he says to me, that I may do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.